and stimulation for your brain. This is the Lisa Wexler Show on WICC 600.
And welcome back to the show. You know, one of my very, very favorite genres of reading has always been young adult fiction. I just think that the reason it's one of my faves, and I read it as an adult, but I certainly loved it as a young adult, is because the stories are told without all that much description. They sort of get to the heart of it, and they are talking about, and they are talking to people who are still impressionable, who are coming of age, who are thinking about the big issues for the very first time. And we can remember, can't we, as teenagers, as young adults, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15-year-olds, what the world was like when it was fresh and new. Even as we get older and crotchety, we've still got to remember what the world was like when it was fresh and new. Brandi Colbert wrote The Voting Booth, Make It Count. She's an award-winning author. It's a beautifully produced book. It's published by Hyperion Press. She lives in L.A. Brandi, hello. Welcome to the Lisa Wexler Show today. Good morning. It's early for you. Are you there now?
Good morning. Yes, Lisa. Yeah, it's pretty early here, but I'm super happy to be on your show. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. So, Brandi, The Voting Booth, tell us a little bit quickly. Give us the synopsis of this. What is the book about?
Sure. So The Voting Booth is about two first-time, they're teenage voters. They're both 18. It's told from dual perspectives. So one perspective is Marva, and she has been waiting for Election Day pretty much her whole life. And the other perspective is told from a young man named Duke. And Duke knows that it's his duty to vote. He comes from a pretty politically active family, and he has a late activist brother whom he's sort of, you know, voting to honor him, knowing that he would want him to do this. But he's a little more apathetic about the day. And on Election Day, Marva shows up to her polling place. She's very early. She's the first person in line. And she gets her vote in, and it makes, you know, her entire year pretty much. And then as she's leaving, she sees this young man that she doesn't know, Duke, having trouble with his voting process. He's not registered at that polling place, and so she takes it upon herself to make sure that he's going to be able to get his vote in, and that sends them on a whirlwind of a day, an adventure with voting.
Okay, now voting, we're chatting with Brandi Colbert. Voting doesn't usually sound like the sexiest of topics, particularly for young adults. So I'm curious, Brandi, what made you decide, you know, to write about this as a plot line?
Right. Yeah. It's definitely not really something people think of when they think of young adult
right?
boxes.
Right.
When all about our political process. Right. But I just thought, you know, it would be really interesting to show teens sort of exercising their right to vote and, you know, figuring out what it means to make their voice heard. I think that teens today are a lot more, you know, politically engaged, politically active, maybe more so than at any other point in history. Of course, teenagers have always been at the forefront of change, social justice, social change. But, you know, I think I will speak for my own generation. As a teenager in the 90s, I don't think we were as politically active as teens are today. So I really wanted to show just sort of what a day voting looks like. I don't think we really get to see that. Some people were lucky enough to be taken along to the polls, you know, with their parents or guardians when they were younger. But I don't think we really get to see, like, teens don't get to see what it looks like. So I wanted to show just all these different sides of voting.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. I'm such a big voting proponent. I remember the first time I voted. I used to really like, we're chatting with Brandi Colbert, the book is The Voting Booth. I still miss the privacy and the drama of the old-fashioned booth where I would close mm-hmm. the curtain and open the curtain. And then when I was really a grown up, I was one of the people who was a checker of the tabulated vote on the side of the machine. And in my little town of Westport, Connecticut, I was one of several heads that would look at that number. We would all write it down. We would all transmit it. There were so many different ways, and it was so decentralized and non-computerized, it couldn't be hacked. And it was definitely accurate. And I personally am sorry that Connecticut threw out all of our old voting booths because they couldn't be hacked, right? They were unhackable. And they were, I thought they were very accurate way of counting votes. But You know, that's, I mean, where we are today in terms of all of the allegations of voter fraud and mismanagement, I got to tell you, Brandy, it's a timely subject. My niece in Arizona was not permitted to vote during the last presidential election. She started to cry. She was 24 years old. She wasn't 18, 24. She started to cry, and it's because, well, it's just because they decided that she wasn't who she said she was. And it had to do with the fact that she preferred using her middle name as a last name on some documents and her last name as her last name on other documents. But her full name had her middle name and her last name, and it wasn't Ann Smith. They were very specific ethnic kinds of names that couldn't be mistaken from anybody else. They did not let her vote in Arizona. They wouldn't let her vote. It's terrible.
It's so disempowering to, you know, hear that things like that are still happening.
Oh, they're happening. And so afterwards, she had to do her best to make sure that all her ID matched everything else. But I'm a lawyer, and I can tell you, Brandy, that if somebody had a brain, they could have taken an affidavit at the voting booth to say, I, Anna, am the same Anna as blah, 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 as blah, 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 blah. And here's my driver's license. And here's my other ID that show I am who I say I am. And then the person should have allowed her to vote. She should have been allowed to vote.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But that's what's happening.
It is. And that's That's one thing I wanted to show in the book is that, you know, these things are happening and that maybe voter suppression doesn't look like what people think it looks like. I think a lot of people, you know, in history class learn about, you know, like especially in southern states with heavily black populations, that voter suppression was only, you know, poll taxes or literacy tests. And, it's, you know, like everything else, voter suppression has evolved into many different things, such as the example that you just gave.
Oh, yeah. Because what happens is we have become a highly legalistic society. And what I mean by that is that we have elevated form over substance. And that's the problem because you know, because that's what it is. And that was a very good example of that. In other words, if somebody can show you to their satisfaction that they are who they say they are, even if they have gone by a few different names, a lot of women get married. They use one name when they're married. They still use their maiden name for certain things. That should not deny a person an ability to vote if somebody can reasonably be shown to be that same person.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's so discouraging. I'm really sorry that happened to her and that, you know, those kinds of things are still happening to people all over.
So what is the secret, Brandy? I know you have to run. We're chatting with Brandy Colbert. What is the secret to writing young adult fiction versus other kinds of fiction?
Gosh, I think it's just sort of, for me, it's getting back into that mindset of being an adolescent. You know, it's been several years since I was a teenager at this point. But I just love, you know, what you were saying earlier about sort of the freshness of that age and how everything is new and everything is sort of exciting because you're experiencing it for the first time. So I think it's just capturing that freshness, that newness, and also, you know, sort of just remaining authentic to a teen voice. No one will call you out more than teenagers if they're reading your work and they don't feel that they have been, you know, authentically portrayed. So I just try to remember what it was like and, you know, never teach a lesson, but just let the story lead first. And I think that's the most important thing.
Yeah. Teenagers hate to be lectured to. They really hate it.
Oh, they hate it.
They do. Yeah, they
do.
Well, Brandy Colbert, thank you very much for joining us today. The book is called The Voting Booth, Make It Count. It's beautifully produced. Congratulations on all that. It's just a very pretty book. And I'm going to give it to the granddaughter of a very dear friend of mine. And I'm going to read it to her because she's a little too young to be able to read it herself. But it's the kind of story and vocabulary that I think she would really enjoy. So we're going to read it together.
Well, I love that, and I hope she enjoys it. And thank you so much for having me today, Lisa.
It's a pleasure. Brandy Colbert on The Lisa Wexler Show. We'll be right back.